Good morning. Welcome to Trust the Bible, growing your confidence that the Bible is true and the ultimate resource for life. I'm Pastor David Gennaro. I want to remind you again, tomorrow at 5 o'clock starts our block party at Fairfax First Baptist Church. We'd love to have you. It is free. There will be all kinds of free food and things to do for kids and campfire and s'mores and everything. Starting at 5, we'll have dinner at 6. We'll have things going on throughout the afternoon and evening hours. The number to call if you want to know how to find the church, if you want to know anything about it, or Camp Impact, how to register for the summer for camp for your child. We'd love to hear from you. The number to call is 803-943-8237. That's 943-8237. Well, this week I've been talking about the resurrection. Jesus rose Easter Sunday, but he continued to appear to the disciples to prove to them that he had risen from the dead. And we've been looking at what the different passages say about that and looking at evidence for the resurrection. Well, 1 Corinthians 15 is one that we haven't looked at yet, and so that's where we're going to be today. 1 Corinthians is not one of the four Gospels that we usually think about. You know, if you want to read about the resurrection, read the Gospels, the stories about Jesus' life. But 1 Corinthians is a letter Paul wrote. It dates very early. It may have been written even before the Gospels, and probably by 53 AD. You have the writing of 1 Corinthians. That's just 20 years after Jesus' death and resurrection. And there's a very interesting couple verses about the resurrection. In fact, the theme song for our show, Christ Died for Our Sins, Met Death in the Grave, Then Rose to Life Again, is based on 1 Corinthians 15:3. So let's look at the whole context. 1 Corinthians 15:1, Paul writes, "Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved." Does that sound familiar? That's from our song, right? By this we are saved. "By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance." Okay, so what is this gospel message that Paul preached? Well, it's something that he says here he received. In other words, it's not something he made up on his own. He received it from Jesus, of course, but there's also an indication here that he received it when he went to talk with the apostles in Jerusalem. And they already had a sort of short memorized statement of what they believed that they could easily teach others to spread. And so even skeptics of Christianity will recognize that what we have in this statement, verse 3, "For what I received, I passed on to you of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." That's the beginning of it. What we have here in this statement is a very early, memorized, well-structured statement of Christian belief that dates all the way back to the very beginning. This is an indication that we have a tradition that dates back right to the time of Jesus' death and resurrection, within at least a year or two. I would say probably dating right back to the very weeks. Perhaps this was put together just after Pentecost, the year that Jesus died and rose from the dead. And so here's what it says, and this is very early eyewitness testimony or evidence of Jesus' resurrection. "For Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." And it's very interesting that it repeats according to the Scriptures. That's because I believe the Old Testament taught that the Messiah was the culmination of God's plan of bringing salvation to Israel and the nations. And God foretold through his prophets for centuries that his Messiah would be crucified. Specifically crucifixion, they would pierce his hands and his feet, Psalm 22 says, and that he would be buried and that he would rise again and that it would be on the third day. That's something that's spelled out in the Old Testament scriptures. I might come back and talk more about that another time. And then it says in verse 5 that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. Now that's what I want to focus in on today. Why does Paul say that Christ rose the third day, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. If you've listened earlier this week, we've heard that Jesus appeared to first the women, then to Mary Magdalene, and perhaps then to the disciples, but we haven't gotten that far yet. Here it says in 1 Corinthians 15 that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. What happened to the women? Well, first, it's understandable that Paul would not write about the appearances to the women, especially to this audience here in Corinth. Women's testimony counted for nothing. And if Paul is trying to explain the evidence for the resurrection, if he said, well, women saw Jesus, people would shrug their shoulders and say, well, so what? You know, women don't really count. That was, unfortunately, the way women were viewed. And there are many examples of women having testimony in trial, and it's just discounted. It wouldn't count in this time because, well, it's a woman. So why would you count the testimony? Now, obviously, I'm not saying that's the way it should be. I don't want to get in trouble with that. I think that's terrible. The Bible teaches that men and women are equal before God. But that was the view of the culture. This was not a Christian culture. And so Paul is wanting to convince them of the resurrection. You can understand why he might not include stories about the women at the tomb. However, the gospel writers were trying to tell us what happened as it happened so that Christians would know what happened. And, you know, the fact that they put so much emphasis on the appearance to the women and to Mary Magdalene shows that they are authentic accounts. They maybe didn't write it the best way to make the best argument in their day, but in our day, we recognize the testimony of women. Now, the gospel writers didn't know that a future generation would value that testimony, so the fact that they include it speaks volumes to the credibility of those gospel accounts. Nevertheless, Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 is not saying that Jesus didn't appear to the women. He's just not including it in his brief account. He says that Jesus appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also. So we have a whole list here of different appearances of the resurrection. This is exactly what Acts says. Remember Acts chapter 1, verse 3. Luke writes that after his suffering, meaning after Jesus' crucifixion, Jesus presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days. All right, so what are these appearances? Well, we don't know when Jesus appeared to Peter. This is not recorded anywhere else other than this one verse in 1 Corinthians 15. It must have been sometime after he appeared to Mary Magdalene. He appeared to some of the women at the tomb. Later that morning, he appeared to Mary Magdalene. This is all in the resurrection. Then he appeared to Peter. And we don't know anything else about that appearance. Then he appeared, Luke tells us, about two disciples who were on the way to Emmaus, and Jesus appeared and talked with them, and they didn't realize it was Jesus until later. And they went to find the disciples and told the disciples, "We have seen Jesus." And then Jesus appears to the 12. Now, 1 Corinthians 15 says, "to the 12," we know that Jesus didn't appear to the 12 disciples because one of the disciples was Judas Iscariot. He had taken off. I don't know if at this point he had killed himself or not, but he wasn't around. So there's only 11. We also know that Thomas wasn't there at this first meeting because Thomas later comes and they tell them, "We've seen Jesus. It's true." And he says, "I won't believe until I, you know, see the nail holes in his hands and in his feet and see the hole in his side." You know, that's what Thomas says. So Thomas wasn't there either. So only 10 of the disciples were there when Jesus appeared to the 12. So why are they called the 12? Well, I think this is just a reference to this group of leaders of the early church. One of the seats may have been vacant. It is filled later on in the book of Acts, but they're just simply known by the name the 12, even though only 10 were present at this first resurrection appearance with them that we read about in 1 Corinthians 15. Then there are a series of other resurrection appearances. We know he appeared in Galilee. We know he appeared in Jerusalem. And then later, 1 Corinthians 15 tells us that he appeared to James. So we'll talk about what happens in some of these resurrection appearances and how Jesus showed convincing evidence that he really was risen from the dead. We'll look at that tomorrow. Until next time, remember, you can trust the Bible.